right in front of you. There's a red Bible there, a pew Bible, and you can turn to page 61 there. We've been walking through the Ten Commandments. Today we're on commandment number 5, but today I thought let's see if we at least remember the first 4 before we move on. All right, so without displaying them on the screen, who can tell me, we're a small enough group here, who can tell me what's the first commandment? All right, love God. Only have one. The number one commandment is God's number one. Don't have any other gods. All right, the second commandment. Don't make any graven images. You know, don't have two. Don't bow to an idol. All right, number 3. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. That's right. And I always kind of remember this. 3, it looks like a W, and watch your words. All right, watch your words when you're using the Lord's name in vain. That is a violation of his honor and the respect and authority that he is deserved. And so, number 4, keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, actually. It's remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, remember that you need a Sabbath, a time of rest to focus on him and to replenish your own body. And keep it holy. Holy is set apart from all the other things that you do. It's not a day to catch up on everything you didn't get done that week. It's really a time to rest and relax. Now, did you use last Sunday afternoon as a time to rest and relax, or did you just do everything you hadn't done Monday through Saturday? Because if we haven't applied it yet, we might just want to go back to that one and spend some time on it today. All right? It's a commandment not to violate, because it's a gift for you. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man, for you, to rest and refocus, replenish, restore those relationships with you and your family and with you and God. So today is the 5th commandment. And all the parents said, amen. Honor your mother, your father and your mother. Honor your parents. So if you're in Exodus chapter 20, I'll also put it up on the screen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's the second positive phrase of all of the commandments. There's only 2. There's 10 commandments, and most of them are in the negative sense. Don't do this, don't do that, don't violate this. But 2 of them rise to the occasion of being positive. Number 4, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And number 5, honor your parents. This is what you should do. Honor your father and your mother, and you're going to be blessed because of that. There's a direct blessing of lengthening of life that God would honor. If you honor your parents, he will honor you with life. Now, I want you to notice something about this verse as it's up on the screen. Do you see the word child or children? Okay. What that is inferring is that this is not for children who live in your home only. It's for anybody who has parents, regardless of age. Now, how many of you, raise your hand, have parents or have had parents at least sometime in your life? All right, nobody got on this earth without having a mom and a dad. Regardless of what culture wants to say about how families are made, it still takes one man and one woman, and that is God's divine plan. Amen? All right, so if you have parents or have had parents, whether they're still alive or passed on, whether they were good, mediocre, or poor, because there's no parentheses here that say, well, unless this, it says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It is for all ages, whether you're 80 and your parents are 100. In the classic service this morning, we were celebrating the lengthening of life of 2 particular parents. Jim Jennings' mother just got to visit with her, 103 years old. Incredible. She must have been really good to her parents. And I assume that Jim is just getting the benefit and blessing of that mother's faithfulness to him. All right. We also had a mother that was celebrated, Elaine Johnson's mother's 108. Wow. That's incredible that the Lord has certainly blessed them. But these, now, I won't say how old Jim is, but these senior adults who are now still caring for and loving their senior adult parents, doing it faithfully according to the 5th commandment. That's good. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions today. One is, why did God give us this commandment? And then, how can we honor our parents based on the stages of life that we're in? All right, why did God give us this commandment? First, I want you to notice this is the first commandment in the series towards loving your neighbor. Jesus was asked, you know, what's the sum of the law, basically? And he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments, the first four, are the category of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind. All right, because he's number one, and you're not going to have idols, and you're going to honor his name, and you're going to pause once a week to remember those good things that he has done, celebrating him. The last six of the commandments are all about loving your neighbor. You're going to deal with do not murder, don't have adultery, don't lie, don't covet. But it starts with the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother. Why do you think it starts there? Because if you don't learn to love the people in your home, you'll never learn fully how to love people outside. To love your neighbors yourself begins at birth with the two people that you first have a relationship with, your father and your mother. So why did God give us this commandment? Let me give you just a couple of observations. First is that he gives us a commandment because perfect parents do not exist. Is that a true statement? How many of your parents are willing to admit you weren't perfect? How many of you kids would say, and everybody in here is a kid, you've already admitted that, didn't have perfect parents? So if they were perfect, it'd be easy to do this, but God has to command it of us even though we don't have perfect parents. Every person on the planet has sins and weaknesses, faults, inconsistencies. We all make mistakes. Even the best of parents have blown it. Only God is your perfect parent. He is a good, good father. But everybody else is inadequate. And God says, still, honor your father and your mother. Though all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, God can redeem all people. Even with the disappointments and disagreements and the dysfunction, God commands us to honor the position of parent. It's interesting that God takes a messed up man and he joins her with a messed up woman. And what do they end up having? You fall in my train of thought. That's right, messed up kids. If you were shocked that you had messed up kids, you got to look back in the mirror and find out why they were messed up. All right? It's inherited from the sin of Adam. It's all the way through the line. You know, there are three areas of authority God has established on this earth. He established the home as an area of authority that we learned that. He established the church also as authority to teach the word of God and God's principles, God's laws, God's commandments. He also established the government. And God is the one who has established it. Therefore, we are to honor each of those areas of authority in our lives. Even though you don't have perfect parents, we are to honor those establishments even when you disagree. You may disagree with those in your home. You still have to honor. Doesn't mean you have to agree, but you have to honor. What's going on in church, you don't always agree with, but you honor the authority and the positions that God has established. In the government, is everybody always pleased with the government? No. Even if your candidate wins local, state, or national elections, you're still not going to be satisfied. But guess what? God has called you to honor and pray for those in authority. All right, so there's no perfect parents, so that's one of the reasons I think he gave us this commandment, so that we would still obey. The second is respect for authority actually begins at home. I've already alluded to this. Respect for authority begins at home. It's a critical lesson every child must learn. This lesson actually determines how you're going to get along in school, in career, in relationships. Child may grow up saying, well, nobody can tell me what to do. Yes, and you're going to have a hard time the rest of your life with that kind of attitude. Unfortunately, we have a culture that's kind of shifted in that direction. They think there is no authority, that they are their own authority. How long does that last? Until they get out of college and they stop having safe spaces. Respect for authority begins at home. You know, life is not always a democracy, is it? Sometimes there are places where it's just a dictatorship. Someone told you what to do and you better do it. Unless it violates God's law, there's where you have to live. We have a lawyer. Chip Carter's one of our lawyers. Every day or most days of the week, he has to go in front of a judge. Anybody ever been in the courtroom, whether as on a trial, a jury, or you've been one who has to address a judge? When a judge walks in, what does everybody have to do?
Please rise.
All right, when you address the judge, what do you have to say? your honor. Why? Do you know anything about the character of that individual? They might be the biggest snake on the planet. They may have been doing something awful behind the scenes in their office. But when they walk out there, you address them, your honor. Why? Because of the position that they hold. God established position. He says, honor the position. Sometimes, perhaps you grew up in a family that it wasn't the greatest, or your parents weren't the most perfect, or just like your neighbors down the street parents. But the position that God has established for them requires honor. So when your parents walk in the room, you should all rise, and you should say, your honor. No, I'm just kidding about that. But the position that they hold has been established by God, and we are called to honor that position, not just the person. Third observation why God gave us his commandments, it all begins in the home. Perfect parents don't exist, so God has established for us to do so. And he also says parental relationships affect other relationships. Parental relationships are a major forming factor in our lives. Your style of relating is typically set in your home. Even as an adult, when you act in ways you don't understand, many times it's because you're still acting like your parents or reacting to someone like you reacted to your parents. And it affects your relationships. How many marriages have been ruined because a spouse has never resolved a relationship with a parent who's either alive or dead but no longer living in their home? How many times have you said to someone, you act just like your dad. You act or sound just like your mom. Surveys have shown that people who get along with their parents have far better relationships in their adult life. So if these things are true, how can I honor my parents? Because command number 5 says you need to honor your father and your mother. For some of you, that has been very simple. For others of you, it's been a challenge. So let's glean the principles from Scripture to see how can we obey this commandment and do it joyfully. Here's a couple of observations. How can I honor my parents? And I believe it's based on stages of life. From 1 John, we know that John kind of breaks up the stage of life as child, young man, young woman, and then adult, or father, mother, so as we get older. So I want to give you some observations from Scripture how we can honor our parents based on the stage of life we're in. If you are a child, let's begin there. A child is someone who's living in the home under the authority of their parents. And so how does a child respond? To honor their parents, they need to obey and respect their parents. It's what God established in his Scriptures, and it's been set for thousands of years. A couple of verses to observe in the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents said, amen. One of the first verses you want your children to memorize, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children are commanded to obey, to do what parents say willingly, pleasantly, and immediately. Now, here's a general principle for children and adults. If the Lord were to tell you to do something, how long do you have until you should obey that? It should be instantaneous. Because here's a principle in our family that we say often, a little phrase, but it helps us remember when someone tells us to do something that is right and they're the authority figure, if it's not immediate, what is it? It's disobedient. Said that for years. If it's not immediate, it's disobedient. For a child to be told, go clean your room. I wonder what else I've got planned today. Maybe I can work it in next Thursday. Is there a negotiation between child and parent on some of these things? Should there be? All right, so do we do this with our Lord? If the Lord says, I want you to do this, it's plain in Scripture. Say, I'm going to work that in at some point in my future. If it's not immediate, let me just tell you, it is disobedient. In God's eyes. But he's never asking you to do something that's going to hinder or harm you. He's doing things to bring the best out of you so he can give the best to you. So for children in the home, children obey your parents in the Lord. If it's not immediate, it's disobedient. So willingly, pleasantly, and immediately they obey or should. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. Look at what this verse is in a negative context. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. In the home is where you will learn to honor and respect and obey, or you will be turning them away and making their responsibility a chore or even a burden. Look at the curse, shame and reproach. The Bible teaches that as long as you're in a parent's home, you are to obey them. Since a child is dependent upon the parent for food, clothing, shelter, insurance, parents have every right to set the rules and expectations in a child's life. I would even extend that thought, if children move away and then come back, I believe you're still the owner of your home and the one responsible in that home for how things are going to happen. I've been asked at times for, parents have certain convictions based on scripture, and their adult children move back home, and they might bring a girlfriend or a boyfriend or some other thing, and they go, should I allow them to do in our home what I don't agree with? No. Whose home is it? It's your home. You establish your convictions in your home. If somebody wants to do something that violates God's law, certainly you pray for your adult children, but you don't enable it in your home. You love them and you tell them your convictions and you tell them the better way, but I'm not going to let my kids come back into my home and then violate our home's policies based on Scripture. So children, obey and respect the parents. As long as your parents are providing for you and you're dependent upon them, the Bible says you are to obey them. All right, but that doesn't stay that way for a long time. And here's the transition of life. When a child is growing up and they're becoming an adult and moving out on their own, there is that transition. Many of you have been through this already as a parent, seeing your child grow up. And some parents do well in this transition. Your whole desire, their whole life, is that you may grow them up and help them mature until they can move out on their own, and then you celebrate. I mean, they've been arrows in your quiver, and you're ready to shoot them off and see how they glorify the Lord. Some parents are not good in transition, just from my own observation. And I'm one that still has a lot of children in my home and only one in that kind of transitional phase. But I've watched a lot for years. Some parents who do it well and some parents who still see their 25-year-old as a 5-year-old and treat them as such. That's not good. Even if they act like they're 5, you need to treat them like an adult and transition your authority away in a different way. And so how does, young adult, transition into adulthood? How do I honor my father and mother according to God's commands? In Proverbs chapter 23, and we do this by accepting and appreciating them. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You're growing older, you're transitioning out, you still listen and respect, you accept and appreciate them. When you're young, perhaps you saw your parents as perfect. As you grew older, you realize they have some inadequacies. Things that you are pointing out and saying, well, you don't do it always that way, Mom and Dad. Yes, and we've known about your sins for many years. It's just now being revealed about ours. The older you get, as you start to see their faults, their hang-ups, their mistakes, their imperfections, it becomes vitally important for you to accept them in spite of their weaknesses, just as they have accepted you in spite of yours. Why should I choose to accept my parents when they're not perfect? Why, as a young adult, when I disagree with them or want to go in a different direction, why should I still accept them and appreciate them? You might think, hey, I didn't have a choice in who my parents were. Well, guess what? They didn't have a choice either. They chose to have a child, but they didn't know who was going to appear, boy or girl, and how they were going to turn out. There was no selection in personality. People do try to select the gender nowadays. I disagree with. I think let the Lord take care of it all. But you can't buy the perfect baby. They didn't have a choice. So what does acceptance look like? Here's a few thoughts. Acceptance does not mean pretending that your parents are perfect. Acceptance does not mean ignoring their mistakes. Acceptance doesn't mean agreeing with them and all that they do or all that they've even asked you to do. Acceptance means a couple of things. Let me give you these. Acceptance means realizing that God chose for these individuals to be your parents. It was God's sovereign will. Whether they're wonderful and you've always enjoyed them or it's been a challenge, you have to realize that God chose them to be your parents. Your parents have been, whether they've been excellent, mediocre, or poor, they are your parents. They gave you something that nobody else could give you. Life. Nobody else has given you that. Only your parents were selected by God to give you life. And so realize that God chose them. Why did he choose them? You may have to ask him later, but you know, realize that they did not abort you or abandon you. They were God's chosen instrument to bring you into this world and to help you grow up. Whether they were perfect or less than perfect or poor. In Proverbs 23, verse 25, let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Acceptance not only means realizing that God chose them to be your parents. Acceptance means listening to what they have to say. This is in the young adult stages. You're transitioning from being a child, just merely obeying everything they say, to accepting and listening to what they have to say and determining as an adult how to respond. Listening to what they have to say. When you're out on your own, you're not bound by the advice, but you should not despise your parents' advice either. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland on your head and pendants for your neck. You can disagree without being disagreeable. Do you agree with that? We struggle in our culture. This is, an interesting time where people are at each other about everything from politics to musical choices to whatever. And we can certainly disagree. It's not about disagreeing. It's about our presentation of respect or lack thereof when we disagree. We had something in our school not too long ago where there were some policies being implemented at our academy. We had the policies, but now we're kind of implementing them, and there was some disagreement among the students about those policies. And those students had to determine, can I agree, or can I disagree respectfully, and maybe have a conversation through this, or do I need to just throw a temper tantrum? I'll just use my own language here. Just throw a temper tantrum on the floor until I get my way. And I'm not just going to call students out. Adults do the same thing. And so we were able to work through that until students actually wrote down in a respectful way their disagreement, why, and a solution to how it could be implemented better. Every one of us need to learn how to, even with our parents, to learn how to disagree agreeably in a respectful way. You can listen to your parents. Give them the courtesy of listening to them and don't tune them out as you transition to adulthood. That's part of the acceptance. Some other thoughts. Not only do we listen and we appreciate them, but we can accept them by practicing forgiveness. The fact of life is we often hurt those we love the most. Would you agree? Whether intentionally or unintentionally, we hurt those we love the most. If you live together for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by your family and you're going to be the initiator of hurt. So that's why families have to be built on forgiveness. You learn that in the home and then you take that into your adult world. How do you forgive those who've hurt you? Unfortunately, honoring parents is not common in our culture anymore. It's not a common practice because we've not learned how to forgive and be able to move on. People would rather live their lives blaming their parents for everything under the sun rather than establishing a better relationship as an adult. My mom didn't potty train me the right way, or my dad didn't provide this or that for me, or my parents were too strict, or my parents were too absent, my parents were too preoccupied, my parents were too smothering. I've heard so many twos on parents over my ministry years that it just drives me insane. Yeah, your parents were too sinful, and they raised you to understand what sin is. And so now are you living on the grace of God to correct that? And learn to forgive your parents as Christ in heaven has forgiven you. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. There's a memory verse this week for you. Listen, bitterness is ultimately self-destructing. You might think that bitterness and separation from someone you don't like, or your parents specifically, as we're speaking of, may actually hurt them. It actually hurts you more, because you're holding something far more than you need to in that relationship. You ought to let it go and forgive. We're to accept our parents and not despise them. We should listen to what they have to say and offer forgiveness quickly and often. God gave you your parents for a purpose, even for those who may have been mistreated growing up. God wants you to honor your parents. Don't honor their sin, but honor them for Him. You honor your parents when you forgive them for what they've done wrong, and then you choose to focus on what they did right. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 11, listen to this. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Celebrate that which is good. God says you are not only to accept your parents, the good and the bad, but to appreciate them, to stop taking your parents for granted. Regardless of whether you had fantastic parents or very frustrating parents, here's two things I think you can learn to appreciate about your parents. Number one, you can appreciate their effort. No parent was perfect, but every parent has contributed much effort into raising you. Parenting is hard, would you agree? Oh, so about the time you think you got it licked, God shows you that you still are having to be dependent upon Him. And you think about how hard it is for parenting the children you have, or the children, you know, that were in your home in the past. What do you think it's like for God to have every one of His children sinful and broken? And even when He saves them and rescues them and gives them eternal life, they still continue to blow it. The amount of patience God must have for us. But as children, we can appreciate our parents' effort. Though it's hard, it's time-demanding, it's energy-draining. It takes incredible energy just to gather kids to get to the van to go somewhere. My goodness, much less anything else that we do. Even consider how much easier it would be for your parents if they didn't actually have had you. Think about this. This is the second place you can appreciate your parents. Not only in the effort, what about the sacrifice that they've had? How much sacrifice of time did parents give for you? Now, it may have been years since you've lived in your parents' home, and you may have to go back in time a little bit. How much do they sacrifice time-wise? How much do they sacrifice financially? How many trips around the world could they have taken on the expense that they put towards you? Your health care, your food, the insurance, all those school projects, anything and everything that they had, those sports or whatever they had to do. They're saying today that it takes $250,000 to raise a child between 0 to about 25. $250,000. And I assume that doesn't include law school. Would anybody like to adopt any of mine? That might be helpful to me. All right, Marie will take them. It's expensive. I think you can do it for less than that, but it's expensive. The sacrifice. What could Jennifer and I be doing if we didn't have 9 children and just wanted to live for ourselves? How much sacrifice do we give? I didn't sacrifice much at the beginning when our children were born. I could sleep through anything. But my wife, how much sleep did she sacrifice to get up in the middle of the night and nurse those babies and take care of them when they're sniffling and they got all kinds of other bodily functions that are coming everywhere. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that, so pretend like you're asleep. All right? The sacrifice our parents make for us, and it's not just when they're infants. I have observed over my years of ministry, watching you, that it takes just as much sacrifice after they're out of your home as they are when they're in your home. It's challenging to appreciate the effort and appreciate the sacrifice that they've made. You got to appreciate all stages of life. I thought this was funny. They said there's 4 stages of your life. There's the stage where you believe in Santa Claus, the stage where you don't believe in Santa Claus, the stage where you become Santa Claus, and the stage where you look like Santa Claus. And you ought to just appreciate all four stages, no matter where you are or where your parents are. Let me go into the last stage, because I think this is where most of you are. Adult. As an adult, how do you honor your parents? I believe you do it by affirming and never abandoning them. Unlike most cultures of the world, and as I've traveled the world in various places, both in South America and Guatemala and Honduras, I've been to Africa. In those cultures, they honor their seniors, where in our culture, the older someone gets, the less respect and honor and attention they get. I think it's a tragedy in our culture. The less respect they receive. All of their affirming friends are passing away. They're no longer wanted in the marketplace for their skills and their wisdom. Their grown children are so busy with their own lives, and these senior parents begin to lead lonely lives. Your parents have a great need, a desperate need, to feel like they've made a positive contribution to your life. They need affirmation. God says He wants you to affirm your parents for the rest of your life as long as you're alive and they are too. So how can I affirm them and never abandon them? Number one, you can affirm your parents by staying in touch with them. Hopefully you're doing that. If they're still alive, you can send a letter, a text, a call them, go visit them if it's physically possible. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, says, do not withhold any good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. If they're alive and you're able to connect with them, continue to call them, affirm them, love them. This is how an adult honors their father and their mother. Flowers at their funeral will never be as appreciated as flowers and a personal visit while they're alive. Second thing you can do to affirm them is by listening to their counsel, even asking for their counsel. Even if they're 103, sitting at their bedside, you can say, Mom, what do you think about this? And she'll tell him. To honor them by listening. Even if you don't follow what they say, to honor and affirm them enough to say you're valuable enough to listen to. This would include in-laws as well, I believe. You've been married long enough, you know your in-laws, whether they're in-laws or outlaws. But I look at Moses in the Old Testament, and it was his father-in-law that gave him some of the greatest wisdom on how to lead the Israelite people. And you look at the book of Ruth and how Ruth and Naomi had a relationship. It's her mother-in-law, but she listened and sought counsel. There was a love relationship there that I think could certainly benefit our culture today. We affirm them by staying in touch with them. We affirm by listening and asking for their counsel. We affirm them by helping them in times of need. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Consider that. That God has put it into our Christian DNA to care for our family. And specifically, don't neglect, abandoned your parents, your grandparents. It's a shameless tragedy of our society that families get so busy and they just say, well, the government will take care of them. I don't need to be involved. The Bible teaches that when your parents or grandparents become too old to care for themselves, it's not the government's responsibility. It is yours. The government can assist. They can be helpful financially at times. But it's not the government's job. God has said it's your job with your siblings to care for your parents in a day that they can't care for themselves. Think about all the hours they spent when you were a child, taking care of your messy diapers and taking care of your food and putting up with your temper tantrums. And when they tell you something and you didn't remember it. And then now the roles reverse and they're older and they can't take care of themselves and perhaps they're in diapers and perhaps they can't remember what you told them 5 minutes ago and perhaps that they throw little temper tantrums. They did it for you and God's saying it's your responsibility to care for them. Honor them. The roles reverse. What does it mean to care for them in their older age? It may mean you go over and just take care of their yard work and housework. Perhaps it means that you invite them to live in your own home if it's at that stage, or it means hiring a nurse to care for them, to find some care facility for them. There's all kinds of applications to this, but God is saying, honor your father and mother and make sure they're cared for. Many of you have already faced this, or you're facing this now. Let me just remind you of what 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 says. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make their return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. You want to please God? Take care of your parents. It's interesting, at the point of Jesus' crucifixion, we were talking about the blood a little earlier, and consider that all that was on the mind and heart of Jesus as he's lying on that cross, and considering bearing the weight of the world's sins on him. But it still did not distract him from considering his mother. As he knew he was about to die, he looked out at his mother, and he looked over at John. He says, John, take care of my mom. Perhaps Joseph, his earthly father, one who cared for him, had already passed. But Jesus' heart, though he's got the heart for the world, he had a heart for his parent. He sets the model and example for us that there's nothing more important in all of the world than making sure that our parents are honored. Now, perhaps your parents have already passed on, or perhaps you've been in the distance for a while, but perhaps your parents abandoned you. I could not tell you today where my biological father is. I don't know. I don't know where the second father in my life is today, that meaning he married my mother, they adopted me under his name for a season. I had a different last name. I couldn't tell you where he is. But I know that God is my father. And I do know where my mother is, and have conversations with her. And we're, in a sense, repairing and rebuilding a lot of stuff from years past. But this is one of the verses that's been helpful to me, and I want it to be an encouragement to you as we close today. We'll put it up on the screen. A word for those without parents. Perhaps they passed on. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. That could be just they've passed on, or they've left you. But listen to me today. But the Lord will take me in. You may have imperfect parents, or they may have already passed on, and you don't have that intimate relationship with them anymore. But let me tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is the God who takes you in. He is your good, good Father. Honor him, and honor those he's placed in your life as your father and your mother. Let's bow our heads and prepare for communion. I'm going to have my elders come up here to the front. The band will come up and prepare to play. Let me give some instructions about this as we bow our heads, and I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite you in just a few moments. All those who've been baptized believers, you're part of the body of Christ, not necessarily a member of our church, but you're invited to participate. We're going to invite you to come forward to give your heart once again to God, and I'm going to ask that you're going to exit out your left side of the pews, and you're going to come up to the place right in front of you. When you receive the communion, you can take it right here at this spot. You go ahead and eat the bread and drink the juice, and you can go back and be seated. The elders will bless you as you're up here. The offering plate is here as well. If you have something to contribute, you're more than welcome to place that in the offering plate at the table. But let this be a time to renew your own heart and fellowship, honoring him, and make things right in your own heart and mind. And perhaps there's some phone calls this afternoon you need to make, or somewhere you need to go visit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your good fathering of us. And thank you for the mother and father you gave us, whether they're still alive or they've already passed on. Father, thank you for them. And today we just want to recommit our lives to obeying the fifth commandment by first honoring you as our heavenly Father and then honoring our earthly parents. As we take this communion, Father, I pray that you'd bless our lives and help us to refocus on what really matters. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you would, you can. Somebody will come around if you're not able to move and you want to stay seated. One of our deacons will come around. But for the rest of you, please rise now. Exit out the left side of your pew. Come forward to the table in front of you. Take the communion individually here in the front. And then you can be seated back on the right-hand side.